Oh, can you get me the microphone, please?
The microphone is on me.
Yeah.
Sorry. I forgot.
If you thought that was simple, Chris Talks was too simple, there's more to come. Windows 2000, I think, does quite a lot of exchange to just find out which way of authentication is being used, and that's what Jim is going to talk about.
This is working?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi. So, Chris showed you all those options and various registry settings that you can set to have plain text passwords, which passwords get sent across the wire. Well, add in, once you get to Windows 2000, that you have the possibility of Kerberos and, more options that you could be setting everywhere on your server, on your domain controller, on your workstations, and it gets pretty hairy to manage it. So with Active Directory, they introduced... they call it extended security. It's really extended security negotiation rather than extended security. I'm going to cover this in how they implement it in SIPs. It is used in other protocols too, and I'll talk about that quickly at the end. This is a fairly technical, very technical talk, so if you want to go to sleep, that's fine. My wife came and looked over my shoulder at this and said, there's no way anyone can stay awake for that. So in Windows 2000, you still have the same SMBs, the session setups, reconnects, all that you had before, and still have to connect to these older machines that don't have extended security. So they encapsulated the negotiation inside of the core SMB calls, so that the older Windows and OS 2, I work for IBM, so OS 2 clients could connect. And as I mentioned here, the negotiation happens mostly inside, but some of the exchanges that go on happen outside of SMB. Once you've figured out that this client can talk something else. One of the protocols one of the APIs that they use is GSS API. I'm not going to go much into this because I don't really know much about GSS API, because Windows doesn't really do much with it other than use it as a wrapper where they have to, because it was defined. You can go look on the RFC 2743, and it is immense, and Windows uses this much of it. They have instead implemented their own SSPI, security support provider interface that can map into some of this, but really not much of it goes on. In particular, that's used to encapsulate the SPNego, which I'll cover in a moment, and Kerberos when it's required by the definition of those protocols. The bulk of what I'll talk about is SPNego, the Simple Protected GSS API negotiation. I'm hoping I can get another layer on top of this and see how deep we can get with the acronym nesting. This the flaw that existed in GSS API is that GSS API can only handle one mechanism of security. And SPNego was added so that this negotiation could happen up front and enable you to offer multiple mechanisms such as NTLM, LM, Kerberos, theoretically plain text, although I've never seen that negotiated. And you can even get some of the options negotiated before you really get into the authentication itself. What flags, what encryption types, what signing needs to take place. So there are two basic steps to the negotiation. The first one, called the NEG token init. It basically establishes so this is where the decision itself is made on what mechanism is going to be used. And the server will, when the client says they want to do this, the server will then list out all the mechanisms that they support, Kerberos, NTLM, and list the first one first. The preferred one first, so that the client can know right off the bat. Oh, hey, he speaks the same language I do, the same I want to speak, so I'm going to choose that one. It contains some optional data for that first mechanism in case the client decides to use that first mechanism to reduce the number of round trips. Otherwise, you'd have to negotiate the mechanism and then negotiate some more data about it, some more of the options. It's supposed to contain an optional integrity check. It's supposed to be an integrity check, but in the case of Windows, it's not an integrity check. It's just they viewed it as, oh, look, another field where we can send more data. And more than one init can be issued. It can go back and forth several times. I think typically you'll see a couple of them. One's from the server, one's from the client. Once the mechanism has been established, the next step happens. This neg token targ. It's never really explained what these are supposed to stand for. The mechanism is chosen, this takes place. It will contain the data, this response token, the data that's used in the negotiation in terms of specific options, which types of encryption, whether you need signing or not. There's quite a few options that can be passed back and forth there. And again, it can contain an integrity check. So within SIFS, the way this is all started is when the client goes to do the initial connection and negotiate the protocol, there's one bit that's turned on in flag 2 of the SMB header that says, hey, I support extended security negotiation. And then in the in that response, so the server gets that, sees that flag on, and says, okay, I better generate the SP nego in the response. So tacked on somewhere near the end of the negotiate protocol response is the blob that contains all this data that I've just sort of described loosely. There's this other field that if you look in Ethereal, you call it the server GUID. I've looked it up, and it turns out to be the directory service agent GUID. I have not figured out that this is ever used for anything. I've gone in and changed it so that it was something completely bogus, and everything still seems to work okay. What we're sending is the Unicode. Either ask your Unicode server name, just plain text. We're not sending any GUID, so it doesn't really matter. From the Windows side, it doesn't really seem to matter either. And then it continues on. The next step, the session setup contains the bulk of the negotiation. I'm sorry about this. I was hoping we'd have printouts for you. I was going to walk you through. Well, I still will walk you through a trace of this. What I've tried to highlight there is flag 11, bit 11 of flags 2 in the SMB header in negotiate request that says I support extended security negotiation. That comes from the client. As a response, that same bit is still turned on in the server, down in the capabilities bit in the response also, it's turned on there. I'm not sure. Only one of these matters to the client. I think it's in the capabilities. The server GUID I show you that's there, that this meaningless one. And then I've got listed out the format. This is taken loosely from Ethereal. I had to cut out a lot of stuff and reformat it a bit. But the OIDs of the various mechanisms that are supported there, in this case, the Microsoft incorrect variant of the Kerberos 5 OID that they finally admitted that they had, that was generated by a bad library they were using. The real Kerberos 5 OID, a special variant of Kerberos that they've got, and NTLM SSP. And then at the end, this MEC list, MEC, where I told you that it's supposed to contain an integrity check, it contains the Kerberos service principle for my server. That's not an integrity check. That's just an additional piece of information. If that's not there, it all still works. It just takes more round trips. So, all right. So the negotiations that I was showing you there, I mean the mechanism I was showing you there, are these Kerberos 5 ones. Either one of them, if either one of them is selected, it will just the conversation will continue off in Kerberos. This user-to-user Kerberos is a new expired draft RFC that enables a server to host. It's for our workstation to host a short-lived service where you can offer Kerberos authentication to another user using short-lived tickets, rather than exposing your long-term ones to a potential attack. And NTLM SSP. I'll go into that in more detail. Okay, so Kerberos 5 is the preferred mechanism in Active Directory, as chosen by SPNego. The Kerberos steps of the the authentication server request and response and the ticket granting server request and response are done natively inside of regular Kerberos. It's not done inside of the SMB. But the application request is done inside of the session setup. And that is wrapped in GSAPI because it has to be. So the trace of this starts off the same. The client offers that he wants the extended security negotiation, the server responds. This looks just like it did before. Then a few Kerberos exchanges happen. The ASREC, the AS, the request response, the TGA, the ticket granting service request and response all happen just natively in Kerberos. And then once that's done, once the client has authenticated with the KDC or the domain controller that this is all that he is who he is, then he continues back into the regular SMB flow with the session setup request, and he embeds inside the security blob the all the stuff I showed you before that get you down into the extended security block there. And finally, if you look way down at this rightmost piece of it, I apologize in the back there, it contains the Kerberos application request just embedded all the way in there. That normally, if you were writing a Kerberos application, it would just be done natively in Kerberos. So that piece of it gets embedded. And then in the response, the same thing happens. The AP response gets embedded right in that session setup response. And at the end, this integrity check, again, is misused. It contains a complete duplication of the token that came right before. So the same thing is just put in there twice. And if you zero that out, it doesn't matter. Jeremy.
Give me the service name that it's asking for there. Does that have to be the what it looks like is the NetBIOS
Okay, so what Jeremy has asked is the service name that he sees here on the right, the most indented piece there, is indeed the NetBIOS name of my machine with a dollar sign at the end. And this gets inside of Kerberos itself. And what we have, which you may have noticed, is that we certainly have, that the Kerberos KDC that Windows 2000 implements, it has various things that are interchangeable. It has it is case insensitive in terms of the realm. The realm, which usually is case sensitive and there's only one form of it, they will accept quite a few forms of it. They will accept the NetBIOS domain name instead of just the realm. And in their case, it will always be the DNS domain name. And to enable clients to request a service on a host, a service on a domain. There is a mapping. It's called the service principal name. If you look up if you look in the Active Directory and you do a query, an LDAP search on a computer name, you'll see a whole list of these things. The request that happened. Let me see if I show it there. If you look there on the second, in any case, I'll explain is that this thing that looks like host/psf-linux-2k, the host name, and I mean the string that says host followed by the whole DNS domain name of the machine gets converted by the KDC. When the ticket comes back, it comes back as the short version, uppercase, with the dollar sign at the end. That's just the way that their KDC will do that. If you try to do a KINIT on the full version of it, it won't work because KINIT expects it to come back. It says, I want the same principle and I want the same realm that came back. But their KDC does this mapping. Andrew?
It's really the machine account type, which might actually be the net boss name.
Yes, that's true. Andrew has pointed out that it really is the machine account name. If you look at it, it's called the SAM account name for that computer rather than the NetBIOS name. They do not have to be the same. That is true. Okay, there's a couple of quirks that I pointed out here, or listed here, that they got their OID wrong. And another question?
There's an amusing story around the duplication of the token in the neg token MIC. Apparently, Microsoft's the language they were using to describe the ASN1 that they were using to describe that had a mistake in it, and they didn't notice it before they shipped the first release candidate or something like that. They corrected it later on, but because they have so many implementations out in the field that are wrong, they have to stick with the wrong stuff now.
Yeah, I think we've all had an experience like that with Windows at some point in time. Well, a lot of clients that I've seen to work, if you don't follow their mistakes in the protocol and the APIs. It's just part of their embrace and extend and bastardize philosophy. So this user-to-user Kerberos that I mentioned, it enables the user to have a short-lived service. Say you want to, on your desktop host an FTP server with, that's defined by you. I mean, you'd have to write this, but it rather than having all of the infrastructure there and having all the key tab sitting there on your machine where if someone did happen to break in, they'd have full access to it. It's all based on the you as the server, not the domain controller, but you as the server that got your authentication from the KDC can host something that's short-lived without exposing your long-term credentials. I have not seen it. If anyone has seen this on the wire, please let me know because I would love to be able to properly document this and decode it in Ethereal. NTLM SSP. This really, now we start getting into all the stuff that Chris was talking about and negotiating those various options, those registry settings. A lot of the registry settings that Chris was showing you, some of them will require. And that can be enforced outside of this. But the ones that say enable it, maybe you want to allow it to happen, but it doesn't matter if it does or not. This is where all that gets negotiated, what's turned on, what's turned off. And it is often done within SPNego. If you're part of a Windows 2000 domain, it'll be done inside of SPNego because you don't know that this is the one you want. You may want to have Kerberos. But in the event that you're not, that your Windows 2000 server, this is how it behaves. in the event that it's not in domain, it will just start sending the NTLM SSP directly in that same field in the negprot response. So the steps of this are that the client offers the options that he's got. The server then responds with the options that he wants. These flags can change all the way through this. They don't really stop the first time. They kind of negotiate back and forth, and flags tend to, by the end of this, the flags are fairly stable. And then he offers the challenge, and that's where the challenge for the landman or NTLM hash gets sent back in that step. The client will then do the authentication, and it's pretty much all the stuff that's involved in what Chris described, but now encapsulated inside of this other mechanism. And then the final step is not really specified in NTLM SSP. It is just that whatever mechanism you're using in the case of the raw NTLM SSP, where there's no SPNego wrapper, the session setup return code just is zero. And in the case of SPNego, it's got to be the GSSAPI return code. They just left it out because it wasn't needed. So, walking you through the sample here. Before this has happened, this is the session setup. The same negotiate protocol had to happen, and response had to happen, and they had to choose that this is the client has now chosen that he's going to use NTLM SSP. And these are the various flags in here many of those flags map to the registry settings that Chris was showing you, whether it's NTLM v2, whether signing, sealing, or enabled. There are quite a few other ones on there. When you get a chance to look at this on the web, that you can see all the options that are there. Some of them are yet unknown. We've seen them turned off and on, but we don't know what they all are yet. In this case, when the server responds, because the NTLM SSP conversation takes more frames, takes more exchanges, and none of it happens outside of the SMB, it all happens inside of the SMB, the session setup response returns with that it needs more processing, and it says that in that step that at the SPNego level, this other line that I've highlighted there, it says that it's not complete yet. You can see that there's the challenge is in there, and some information about what the domain name of this machine is, and the domain name, and again the duplicated token. And then the client then responds. The client then issues the next setup with the responses that it generated, and the client, and then the server just returns whether it authenticated or not. The difference, I'm just showing the one here. I'm just showing you the raw version. That in this security blob, there is instead of if you look back, let's see to the screen here, you can see that the NTLM SSP is several levels down, nested inside of GSSAPI, inside of SPNego, and in the raw case, it's just right there, right into the SMB itself directly. Other than that, the conversation basically goes the same. This SPNego is used in other services. I've seen it in LDAP. I know it's there in HTTP. I know it's there in IMAP. Someone told me today, Chris told me today, that it's used inside of the network monitoring agent remote service. And if anybody has seen it somewhere, anybody sees it somewhere else, please let me know. I'd like to see it. Real quickly, the same thing happens. I'm just demonstrating how it works in LDAP. The steps of the bind that go on at some point, the SPNego, you see, it looks just like it did inside of the SMB. The same thing goes on the wire, and the same responses can happen. In this case, it's Kerberos, but it does support NTLM SSP also.
All right, these messages. Sorry, but
that requires an applause. You know.
Sorry, but by the way, what does this mean for the user? What does this mean for the user? You will not. Yeah. And anybody using Windows Samba as a PDC for Windows XP? No require Simon seal patch anymore, so that's what his message essentially said. So, okay.
So, for you know, if you really love this stuff and want to get even deeper into it and see the way things really were supposed to be done instead of the way Microsoft did them, there's a lot of places to look, and you can see just how badly it's broken. Are there any questions? Of course, Andrew.
I've got a question about going back to the NTLM SSP fall apart. The session key gets set. My
question is regarding the NTLM SSP pull apart you had of Ethereal, and you were talking about the session key that gets set back and the comments about it being only meant for the datagram flag, unpacked with datagram flags. I found that to be rather critical in looking at some. Values you do or don't put into it, and I was wondering if you have any clue what the heck it actually is about.
In just a moment, let me bring that up here. You're talking about on this?
If you go to the previous one, you sort of mentioned it. Optionally session key and flags. So I was just wondering how much you knew about the session key there.
All that I know is that it's supposed to be optional and that it's not.
Yeah.
Once again, Microsoft is not.
And what you meant to put in it? I tried to put all sorts of things in there.
No, I do not know. I have not figured out what's in it. Yeah, unfortunately, this has been a tremendous amount of work. I know Andrew started working on it, and then I made him I got him past one big hump, and then he took off with it from there. And it's NTLM SSP is a nightmare to implement fully, but boy, everything works a lot nicer if you can do it.
Sorry if I got you right. All this is necessary for a Windows 2000 workstation. Believe us that we are a full Active Directory main member. Is that right? Or whatever that might mean.
It's been such a long time. There were quite a few things that didn't work right before we had this, but I don't remember.
A lot of this came about that if we wanted to have a server that supported Kerberos, we had to have SPNAGO enabled. Having SPNAGO enabled implied you had NTLM SSP. If we didn't get NTLM SSP right, then half a dozen other things broke, and hence us been chasing down this road for a while. That's why there used to be a thing where you had to set use SPNAGO equals no if you want to join a domain. And getting this right allowed us to sort of get rid of those kind of ugly hacks.
Yes, that's what it was. All the NTLM v2 options are correct in there now that you're aware of, or because for a while it was you could have NTLM v2 but you couldn't have SPNAGO at the same time, but
yeah, there's a lot of most of the time.
All right,
so I think that might demonstrate what it really means when Microsoft says okay, that's all documented and we fully comply with the what do you call it, the antitrust case in America, what's the name of it? Yeah, the Department of Justice case. So they would have to document all this stuff to really be open standard, and it's a lot of guesswork to get that right. Any other questions? Okay. How's our time going? We have 4:10 now, and we plan for a 10 minutes break. I think we can. Yeah, we have 20 minutes of break now. And after that, we're going to have Alexander Bokovoy, and I'm not sure about how to pronounce that name, Jean-Baptiste Marchand. And yeah, I hope it will be a bit less technical. Sorry, but it was interesting, but mainly for developers. Yeah, it's interesting.